Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I hope you had a marvelous weekend. And so, you know, we have one of our favorite days where we usually like to talk to a certain somebody, but he was actually handling his business, and he was a little busy, but he gave us some time this morning. So we want to welcome back Robert Bowden from our Friday in the Garden. So we're doing Monday in the Garden this morning. And good morning, Robert. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. It's a kind of a cloudy day, but temperatures are down, so working out in the garden would be a great way to spend the day today, I think.
Aha, that sounds like a plan. So I do have a question that I wanted to start with. We've alluded to being able now to plant in our front yards now, in our side yards. And I know it's not what we normally think of when we think about our lawns, and we're thinking about presentation and everything. So I wanted to ask you, how do you compromise between having a garden, maybe an edible garden, in your front yard or your side yard, but still making it look, because I'm thinking, obviously, and I could be wrong, you're not necessarily growing stalks of corn in the front yard. But do you have some suggestions in terms of how somebody may start, let's say, transitioning their lawn into a garden?
Wow, that is a great question that we could easily spend an entire hour talking about.
Hey, let's do it.
We know that as a result of Governor DeSantis signing into law in 2019, that we are, regardless of the municipality code, you are allowed to plant vegetables and herbs in your front yard. Now, if you live in a homeowners association, that's a little different. They have special rules for special people living in HOAs. But if you live just in a regular neighborhood like I do, you are allowed to plant vegetables in your front yard now since 2019. So how do you progress from just a lawn to an edible garden? Well, I think the number one golden rule for this is to remember that you have neighbors. And it's important to think of those neighbors as you begin to plant your garden. You have to remember you're not there all by yourself, and people have spent a lot of money for their houses, and they want their yards to look good, because you want to be part of the neighborhood. So I know some people have, I live up in Longwood, and as I drive through some of these neighborhoods, they have taken over their entire front yard, and they've killed everything, and they've put in rocks, and then they put in a couple of agaves or something, you know. That's not what we're talking about. That's a little on the extreme side. Is it easier to care for? You betcha. There is no care other than maybe blowing the rocks out, you know, of leaves and so on. But the real key is to plant an edible garden and still be attractive, not only to you, but for your neighbors. And it's very, very easy to do. First thing you might want to consider are planting fruit trees. So many of the fruit trees that we grow here in Central Florida and in South Florida, many of which will grow here in Central Florida, are really pretty yard trees. A good example would be starfruit. Starfruit puts on light purple lavender flowers 4 or 5 times a year. It has a rounded shape to it. You don't have to maintain it. And once you plant it and you get it established, so you're going to have to water it, you know, every other day during the summertime, maybe twice a week in the wintertime like this. And then it puts on these beautiful, tasty, tropical fruits. It is a beautiful tree, even if it didn't put on fruit. So you could plant star fruit. What about avocado? Avocado is a perfectly beautiful tree all by itself. And then, by the way, I get fruit from that. And, you know, during the football season and in the winter, I can make guacamole. I just simply go out to the tree and pick a couple fruits and you make a dip out of it. But it's a beautiful, evergreen, dark green, handsome tree. So stay away from citrus altogether. Don't plant any citrus because we know that citrus is going to die eventually because of the citrus greening disease, of which there is no known cure. So I saw it this morning. Don't go to Lowe's, don't go to Home Depot and buy a citrus tree and plant it in your yard because it's going to produce fruit, but the fruit will be bitter because of this disease. Many of the plants that they're selling, I was just there 45 minutes ago. And many of the plants that these stores are selling have greening disease already, which will ultimately kill the plant in less than, you know, 5 or 6 years. So forget the citrus, but fruit trees, a great way to begin planting edible vegetables and fruit in your front yard. Great trees. Some of these may be a little tender, but you might just plant them, get them established. And generally speaking, after you've had them in your yard for 4 or 5 years and they're fairly well established, even if it gets a little cold, you know, down in the upper 20s, these trees will survive. They may defoliate, especially the avocado, but it'll be a great tree for you. So trees are a great way to start a front yard garden.
Okay, so you mentioning trees, and I'm thinking about height and maybe blocking, you know, the house, maybe, you know, blocking vision. Is that something maybe you would put off more to the side than directly in front?
Yeah.
Or what
yeah.
do you suggest? And then my other question is, how do you start? Because we had someone that was gracious enough to give us, I guess, a sprig off of their tree, but it just did not work for us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you start?
It's hard to propagate trees, okay? You can propagate shrubs, bedding plants, perennials. Pretty easy to do. In fact, an hour ago, I was just propagating some really unusual blue salvia that I got out of California. And I took cuttings. But it's really, really hard to do that with trees because they're so stiff and they have a lot of wood in them, which doesn't really do well when you try to propagate. It's too well established and it won't form roots. Quite honestly, the best way to buy a fruit tree is to buy one that's already, sometimes they're grafted and sometimes they're grown from seed. But one really good way is to buy, and I hate to include a shameless plug, but at the Lou Gardens plant sale, which we have the second weekend of every March, we have one of the finest fruit tree growers in the entire country, right here in Florida. They live and grow their plants down in it's down near Naples, and I'll think of the name in a little bit, but they're called Hopkins Nursery. They're a wholesale nursery, and they come to Orlando every March, and they sell hundreds and hundreds of these fruit trees. Some are in 1 gallon, some are in 5 gallon, some are in 10 gallon. And of course, you know, the bigger you get, the more they're going to cost. But fruit trees in Florida grow so fast, I wouldn't buy one that was more than 3 gallon size, 3 gallon pot. If you want a instant or more or quicker, then you want to go 5. But I would get the trees at the plant sale. And you can talk to the family that grows them and ask any questions that you may have. And they're really, really good about that. You tell them what your parameters are. At the gardens, a perfect example, at Lou Gardens, we had an avocado tree that wasn't doing very well. It wasn't putting on any fruit. It was very old. It had about an 18-inch diameter trunk on it, and it wouldn't put on any fruit no matter what we did. So we chopped it down, and I put a new one in there. And I talked to Billy Hopkins, who's the owner, and I said, I'm looking for a avocado that's wide at the bottom and pointy at the top, so more conical, okay? Conical, so narrow at the top, wide at the bottom, and produces nice size fruit. He said, oh, well, you need to grow Lila. Oh, okay. So I bought Lila from him at the Lou Gardens plant sale, and we planted it at the gardens next to the vegetable garden. And that was about 8-9 years ago. It is the most beautiful tree you have ever seen. So, yes, wow. you can grow avocados from seed. You know, somebody gives you an avocado pit or you get one at the store, you can grow it from seed. But be aware that it's going to be 9 to 10 years before it produces fruit.
Okay.
It's going to be a nice tree, but it's not going to produce fruit right away. So I would wait and go to a plant sale. Go to the people that actually grow the plants for a living. And it's a really, really good way not only to buy the plants, but to get help on how to grow them in your yard.
So is it that you would plant it in the, if you were going to start with a seed, would you just go ahead and plant it in the ground, or should you start with a pot?
You like an avocado seed, you're going to want to plant that. You want to, you know, just like you do with sweet potatoes and toothpicks, you know, half in, you take the seed and you put it sideways and you put toothpicks in it so it's supported above a glass of water. And you put half of that seed in the water and the other half out, and then it'll sprout. And once it gets some roots on it, once it gets some roots, then you put that into a 1 gallon pot and you grow that. And then when it gets pot bound, you look at the roots and they're just starting to twirl around, then you want to put them in a bigger pot. Or at that point, once they're in a one-gallon pot and it's got plenty of roots, you can plant it directly into the ground. But that's, you know, I'm 70 years old. I'm not sure that I'm going to plant an avocado pit because I'll probably never see the fruit from that. So, yeah, you can grow them from seed, but they may not be exactly like the parent. Many of these have been hybridized, so they take the genes from a mother and a father plant, and they share the pollen, and they produce a plant that does, you know, that has the characteristics of both. But if you plant the seed from that plant later on, it's going to revert back to one of its parents. So it may be fun, maybe a nice little science experiment, but I would get the plants that are grown by the growers themselves, and they have special techniques. They have special chemicals that they can use to either graft or they can grow them from cuttings, but it's way above my training for sure.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about doing that lawn to garden conversion that you may have been thinking about. We're here with Robert Bowden of Harrington Blue Gardens here in beautiful Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arclitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. The number 516-387-1944. And we are talking about, right now, we're talking about that lawn to garden conversion that you may have been considering. And if you have any questions, the number is 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. Robert will be happy to answer your garden questions. So Robert, okay, we've been talking about trees, and you know, I asked you about placement and stuff where you would probably put it maybe more off to the side than you would directly in the front. Now, you also have to look at placement in terms of, you know, where your home gets sunlight, right?
Yeah. I think if one of the biggest problems that new gardeners have in growing your own food is they just plant it not paying attention to where the sun is in your yard. And you may think you know where the sun is, but a good example, you know, we have a nice vegetable garden at my house here in Longwood. You know, she wants to grow more. So why don't you just plant some in the backyard, and you can grow a lot of food there. And I said, well, we don't get enough sun. Oh, sure you do. You have plenty of sun. So, you know, for the last year, I've been recording where the sun is, because when you grow vegetables and herbs, you have to have a minimum of 8 hours of full, hot, blazing sun. Okay?
Okay.
You can't do it with four. You can't do it with six. You have to have eight. Now, we give vegetable garden classes just about every other week at the gardens. And I think they're $10 or $15. And we talk about all the different vegetables that you can grow and how to grow them in Central Florida. And one lady came to me after the class. She said, "Robert, I've got a real problem. I have 12 to 13 hours of sun in my front yard every day. What can I do?" I said, "Enjoy it." Because, you know, plants, you know, if they're supposed to have full sun, like vegetables and herbs, they can't get too much sun. They can get too little. And the problem with getting too little sunshine is that they don't have enough sun to grow properly, and they're in stress. You know, they actually seek the sunlight. So what would ordinarily be a plant that was, you know, 18 to 24 inches tall, all of a sudden is sort of a vining plant, and it may grow 4 to 5 feet long and kind of trail along the ground. Well, bugs and diseases recognize that stress, and they kind of move in because they know the plant can't defend itself. So not only are you new to gardening, but the plants that you're trying to grow are under stress. So you're going to be fighting bugs and diseases. And I got to tell you, vegetable gardening isn't that hard. Or I wouldn't do it. You know, I'm looking for low maintenance and produces a good output of something, and vegetables and herbs do that. But if you don't plant them properly, you're going to be creating a lot of work for yourself. You're going to be buying chemicals to try to kill the bugs and the diseases. And, you know, one of the reasons we grow our own food is to save money. And you're not going to be saving money if you're trying to kill bugs and diseases all the time. So minimum of 8 hours of full sun. Now, if you're new to gardening and you want to plant plants in your front yard because maybe the backyard is too wet. A friend of mine called me one day and said, "Robert, could you stop by my house and see why my camellias and my azaleas are dying? You know, I bought these new plants and I put them in the ground, and within a month or two, they're all dead. What's the problem?" So I went over to his house, and I stepped on the lawn next to the driveway, and it was squishy. Mm-hmm. You could hear the water. Yeah, vegetables don't like that. So you can't grow vegetables in the backyard. Maybe, and this was true when we created a community garden in Paramore in downtown Orlando. We were going to plant plants in the ground, but as we started to turn the soil over to prepare it for planting, there were a lot of concrete blocks and bricks and all sorts of bad stuff in there. So we simply built raised beds on top of that, and it's perfectly safe. Maybe there's not enough sunlight in the backyard. So lots of reasons why you can plant in the front yard. But I would also suggest, again, you know, you're not the only people who live in your neighborhood, so it's going to have to be attractive. So it's pretty easy just to build a box out of 2x10 boards that are all 4 feet long and nail them together, fill it with some potting soil, and maybe plant some of the easier things at the beginning, making sure that they have full sun and you have adequate water nearby. So you want to try beans. Really great time now to grow beans. Or gosh, what about lettuce? You can grow lettuce now, super easy. Everybody likes turnips, whether they like the turnip root or the turnip greens. Mustard, super easy to grow now. Carrots, very, very easy to grow. So if you haven't grown any vegetables before, you can simply plant a 4x4 bed out of 2x10 boards. You go to a box store and you buy 2 8-foot boards, and you talk to the guy there in the lumber department, and he'll cut them in half for you, and you can nail them together with some nails, and boom, you've got a garden. And the reason we go 4 feet is because when you're kneeling on the ground or you're reaching into the bed, you can reach into the center without stamping or, you know, without stepping on the soil. Because your vegetables really like rich, fluffy dirt. So plant herbs like basil and parsley and thyme and oregano and things like that in a bed also. The problem I have at my house is that my darling little children, when they were young, went around the yard and they collected acorns. And they planted the acorns. So I have oak trees everywhere in my 2 acres. And unfortunately, they planted it where I wanted to put my vegetable garden. And it was okay for a while, but eventually the tree got really big. And a big tree has lots of roots. And as I continue to grow vegetables adjacent to that tree, I couldn't plant through the roots. The roots were, you know, all within the top 6 inches, and I couldn't grow vegetables there.
Right. If you don't snatch those, if you don't snatch those things up early when they just get started, because we have 2 big oak trees and we have all these acorns too. If you don't snatch those things up when they first get started, you're in a world of hurt.
Right. Right. And you know, maybe you like a volunteer tree coming up someplace, and if it's in the right spot. But the vegetables just got worse and worse over the years because they weren't getting the water because the tree was getting them all. So I built a 4x4 and nailed them or screwed them together and filled it with potting soil and planted my herbs in that. I have to tell you, it's the best herb garden I've ever had. And it's within 10 feet of the kitchen. So, you know, when I'm cooking or my wife is cooking, we need some parsley or we need some thyme or we need some basil. Boom, we go right out there, cut it off, take it into the house. It's instant. You know, so you use it in your cooking. It's what? 2 minutes old? I mean, you can't get any fresher than that. So, and those plants are very easy to grow in a small raised bed in your front yard. You don't have to put a raised bed in your front yard either. You can plant directly into the ground. At my house, I have flower beds in my front yard. And I grow plants like people would plant bedding plants in their yard, you know, so the neighbors can see them. So I'll plant things like Swiss chard, and it has different colored stems. So it has yellow and red and pink and white and orange stems on it, and I grow that in the front yard. But I grow it much like I would a bedding plant. I also plant a lot of plants in pots, you know, red clay pots or plastic pots that you can get at the store, fairly inexpensive, and especially the plastic pots, they'll last forever. And you can plant vegetables and flowers in the same pot, and nobody will know. And it's very, very pretty. So when you get ready to go have Swiss chard, for instance, you don't go to the store. You go to your front yard with a little knife, and you harvest the Swiss chard leaves and stems. And, you know, 5 minutes later, you're cooking. So you don't have to have a lot of yard. You don't have to have a lot of property. You can simply grow them in containers, and they do really well, too. So things like that kind of look like bedding plants, but are actually edible plants are really, really easy to grow in your front yard.
So I've got a new project, I guess, now.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Robert Bowden. We're doing Friday in the Garden on a Monday. He's with Lou Gardens. This is G's Power Hour. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Monday, but we are doing Friday in the Garden on Monday. And we're talking about lawn conversions, meaning making the most out of your lawn by maybe doing some edible gardening in your yard. And we're here with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Lou Gardens here in Central Florida. So, Robert, I like the thing that you were talking about in terms of maybe doing a nice raised bed, you know, maybe the trees on the side and then the raised bed, you know, a little bit more toward the middle, because that's probably not going to be as tall unless they're blocking windows and whatnot. And you mentioned using clay pots. Now, I had a thought, and I don't know, you can tell me before I go and make this investment. I thought about getting some used wine crates and maybe lining those maybe with some weed suppressant and putting your dirt in there and planting in there. What are your thoughts?
That is very Martha Stewart. I mean, that...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't... it'll work. It'll darn sure work. And you can simply line that with newspaper or craft paper or landscape fabric. You may have a piece in your garage from when you plant it outside. Any kind of crate like that will do well. And it has many benefits. One, let's say you think you know where the 8 hours of sun is and you put these pots where it gets 8 hours. Well, it doesn't get 8 hours. Maybe it only gets six. Well, then if it's in a pot, you can simply move it somewhere where you know it's going to get the right amount of light. Pots are very good because they're very inexpensive. And if you buy the plastic ones or the foam, any of those, they'll last an incredibly long period of time. I have some pots that were my mother's pots, and they still work great. And when you grow in containers, they're a lot easier to take care of because it's simply a matter of, you know, taking a watering can and giving them a little water every other day. You can use, in addition to, well, you really surprised me with the wine boxes, but they do. They work really, really well. And, you know, some of those vegetables, when it starts getting cold, if it's going to be too cold for things like beans and things like that, they're going to be affected by the cold, then you can move them indoors. And then when it gets warm, you can put them back outside. If it's in a raised bed or if it's in the ground, you have to cover that stuff up. You can't bring it indoors. So growing in containers, one of my favorite containers is a milk crate.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you mention that before.
Yep. You simply take a couple pieces of newspaper and line the sides and the bottom with the newspaper, and you fill that with soil. There is not an easier way to grow potatoes. So, you can get one of those potatoes that has sprouted in your kitchen, and you line the inside of a milk crate, and everybody has a milk crate hanging around the house, and you fill it with about 2 or 3 inches of soil. Then you put half of a potato that sprouted, you put put that on top of that soil, and then you cover it with another 2 to 3 inches. So now you've got about 6 inches of soil in that crate. And the potato will form roots, and those sprouts will start to grow. Well, once they get about, once the sprout comes out of the ground and it gets up about 8 to 10 inches, then you put additional soil on top of the existing soil, and you partially fill that milk crate. So you get about 3 inches of that potato above the soil. And as it grows, you put in a little more dirt. And as it grows, you put a little more dirt. Eventually what will happen, you know, the potato will continue to grow. It'll actually grow out of or above that milk crate, and your soil will be right at the top of that milk crate. So what do? You don't do anything. You make sure it gets plenty of water, and you fertilize it with something like 20-20-20 from time to time, just a little blue fertilizer, you know. And you want to do that probably in January or February, so that time is coming up. And then you just let it grow, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And when the potato vine, and it will vine, it'll grow 3 or 4 feet long out of that container. Once it starts to turn a little yellow and it looks like it's not feeling so well, that means that the potatoes are finished. So how do you harvest those? You simply dump the milk crate upside down, and you're going to have 8 to 12 potatoes in that dirt. Could that be any easier? It's super, super easy. Yeah. You do the same thing with sweet potatoes in the summertime. You get a sweet potato, and you put that in a little, you know, half of it in a glass of water, and it puts on, you know, so a couple sprouts. Well, you want to take one of those sprouts, and you put that, you fill a milk crate all the way up to the top with good potting soil. And then you take one of those little cuttings from that sweet potato that's growing right at the tip. You want to take it about 6 inches, and you put it right in the center of that soil, and you water it in really well, and it'll root. The first week or so, you're not sure whether it will or not, but it will root. And now it has roots. It's in full sun. It's going to put on sweet potatoes for you. And you usually plant those around May or June. And they continue to grow, and they will grow a lot. They're going to grow and grow and grow. And then usually around October 1st, you harvest. And again, you dump it onto the ground. You're going to have probably 8 to 12 big sweet potatoes on October 1st. Now, the one thing you have to concern yourself is that, you know, when the sweet potatoes are harvested, they're going to be very starchy. They're not going to have much flavor. So what you need to do is that you need to put them in the same milk crate. You empty the soil out, and you brush off the dirt. You don't want to wash them. You just want to brush off the dirt. And then you put them back in the crate, and put them in a hole in a cool, dark location. You know, put it in the corner of the garage or something, you know, whatever you got. And that's October 1st. They will change from starch to sugar in by the time Thanksgiving comes. And then you can use you can use the potatoes you grew for sweet potato casserole or sweet potato pie. And let me tell you, if you've grown it yourself, there isn't a pie on this planet that's going to taste better than the one that you made out of your potatoes. It's really a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Okay, so now I have a question about the milk crate because I was running it by my husband, and I think our question was, so how do you keep the dirt from exiting the milk crate, you know, because you've got all of those holes in the milk crate. So are you lining it with something or what?
Yeah, you line it with newspaper.
Newspaper, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to...
Or you can go to the hardware store and you get what they call craft paper, that brown paper in a roll. And you cut it to fit in there. You can use old sheets, you know, put fabric in there. Anything that's going to allow the water to exit the crate. You don't want to line it with plastic or anything because then the water won't be able to come out when you water it. You're going to soak the dirt, but the water's going to have to leave out the sides or the bottom. And that's why the newspaper or craft paper or something, paper towels will work. Anything that's going to prevent the soil from coming out, you can line it with whatever you want. Yep.
Okay.
Super easy.
All right.
Yep.
And I had another suggestion, too, is, you know, when you were talking about the milk crates and I was talking about the wine crates, and I've actually done this with some wine crates inside the house, is you could, you know, when you're talking about moving them when it's inclement weather outside, and, you know, put casters on the bottom.
Yeah.
You can put casters on it. It makes it easier to move.
And, you know, I'm 70, and bending over isn't as easy as it used to be, right? I can take two milk crates and put one on top of the other and then take that third milk crate that has all the dirt in it and put that on top of the other two. And you plant your potatoes or whatever you want. That could be your mini garden. You can put parsley and thyme and basil, and you can put all that stuff in one of these crates. And then so you're going to have two crates with nothing in it, and you're going to have that third crate with dirt, with all your herbs and stuff in it, and you don't even have to bend over. It's right there for you. So you can go one, maybe two crates, and basically it acts as a filler to get that plant up where you want. And if you go on Pinterest and you talk about milk crate gardens, you'll see all sorts of designs. And, you know, these milk crates last forever. You know, they're plastic, they're heavy plastic. And, you know, when the kids start going back to school, you send them off to college, milk crates take the place of concrete blocks. You know, when we were going to college, we used to put concrete blocks upright and then put a board across the top and another concrete. So you make shelves or you make seats or whatever with them. But people are doing that with, they recycle the milk crates. And if you could just go online, go to Pinterest and look at all the things you can do with milk crates, you get a really good idea of what you can do. You can plant three different levels of milk crates with flowers and vegetables in it. You know, one of the really fun things to do is grow flowers that are edible. I don't know if you've ever eaten flowers before, but one of my absolute favorite plants that I grow to put in my salad every night are nasturtium flowers. Nasturtium,
really?
They have dark green, light green, or variegated leaves. They're round, about the size of a quarter, maybe a little bigger. And then they produce different color flowers depending on which one you buy. They're super easy. The seeds are a size of a pea, so you can start them in a pot. And you put them on an inch deep, and they start to grow in full sun. Then they put on. There is not an easier annual to grow, and it produces the foliage, and it produces these beautiful flowers. And both the leaves and the flowers are edible. You can eat those. Same thing with calendula or pot marigold, sweet pea flowers, violet, you know, little Johnny jump-ups, you can eat those flowers. So, you know, maybe you're not into vegetables, but gosh, you know, I really like salad, and I want the salad to be pretty. So not only do I grow different kinds of lettuce in those crates or in the raised bed, now I can grow flowers as well. So the neighbors are going to enjoy all the flowers, but what they don't know is that you're eating them too. And the more flowers you pick, the more flowers that plant is going to put on.
Wow.
The more flowers you eat, the more flowers it produces.
Okay. So we're going to take our final break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about converting our lawn into a more useful production, an edible garden. And we're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on at Blue Gardens with Robert Bowden, Executive Director of Blue Gardens. This is Dee's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking gardening with Robert Bowden of Harry P. Blue Gardens here in Central Florida. And if you have questions in the next few minutes, the number is 516-387-1944. And I did get one question about any suggestions you might have for natural pesticides in the lawn?
Sure. Yep. In the lawn and in the garden, both. I have to tell you, one of the absolute easiest is liquid ivory soap.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
You're kidding.
You can, depending on how big your lawn is, depending on how much soap you need, but ivory soap will work. I usually, if you start seeing you have a bug problem in a given area of your lawn, you simply put a tablespoon of ivory soap in a, you know, one quart spray bottle, or you want to put a quarter of a cup in a watering can, and I take I will actually drench the problem area. So if you have chinch bugs or you have sod webworms in your lawn, you can take a little bit of ivory soap and put that in a watering can and drench that area that's infected with bugs. You can simply drench that with ivory soap, and that'll kill them. It's pretty cool stuff. And it's readily available, and it's inexpensive. If you're looking at sod wet worms, and you can see if it is, because you can identify them. You get down on your hands and knees on the edge of where the dead grass is and the new grass starts, then the green grass. If you look down and you see little tiny caterpillars, they're green, and they look like the letter C. Then you have webworms. If you look between the old or the dead grass and the green grass, and you see little tiny beetles, they're black and orange, about a 1/16 of an inch long. They're not very big. Well, those are chinch bugs. And those are the two that really do the job to a lawn here in Central Florida. And the ivory soap will take care of them both. If you have sod wet worms, because they're caterpillars, you want to use a product called Dipel, D-I-P-E-L. It's actually a bacteria, and it's perfectly safe for humans. Doesn't bother us at all. The bacteria will kill the caterpillars. Now, keep in mind that it kills all caterpillars. So if you have a butterfly garden nearby, you want to be careful how you use that. You'd want to drench it out of a watering can and not spray it. And if you have either bugs or caterpillars, then you could use a product called Safers, S-A-F-E-R-S, Safers soap. You can use neem oil, N-E-E-M. These are all perfectly fine organic compounds. Neem oil is derived from the neem tree, which is native to India. And last but not least, there is a product called Spinosad, S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D. And it was discovered in the Caribbean islands, and it has since become a very sophisticated, very powerful organic insecticide. It's a little pricey. It's going to certainly be more than ivory soap will, but it really, really does a great job and takes care of worms or beetles in your turf. And you don't have to use all those horrible chemicals. You can use simple things like these organic products that I just described, and they work great on your lawn. They work very well.
Good. Good to know. I mean, because, you know, like everything else, the chemicals are getting expensive too. But also, you kind of want to monitor what you're putting in, what kind of chemicals you're putting in your lawn and in your garden, because then, you know, some of that is seeping into whatever you're eating. So you just got to be more careful, you know. So who's
right.
Not ivory?
And you don't want those dangerous chemicals getting into the aquifer or going into the ground where our drinking water comes from. So,
exactly.
You know, I think I'm going to admit to you, I was all about using really powerful chemicals because I knew that would kill them. And a couple of my friends introduced me to some of these other products, which are totally and absolutely safe for the planet. And they're not going to get into our groundwaters. It's not going to be an issue. And I tried them knowing that they weren't going to work. You know, I wanted to prove them wrong, that I was right, and I wanted to use these heavy chemicals. And you know what? It turns out that they were right, and I was wrong. Things like Ivory soap and Safer soap and neem oil and spinosad all work very well. Very, very well. And so isn't it nice to know that you can garden and you can garden safely both for the people that are applying the chemical and it doesn't get into our groundwater. It works. It really works. And you don't have to be, you know, my day, you know, you use that kind of stuff. You're always kind of a hippie, you know. Well, no. It's all, you know, it's about doing the right thing and taking responsibility for your actions. And you have to live with the planet. I mean, we're all going to be here for a while. So those chemicals, those things that I mentioned, do a very, very good job and are very safe for the environment.
Well, Robert, thanks. We got a few quick minutes. Let's talk about what's going on at the gardens. You got your holiday blooms going on right now, and then your dazzling nights. Talk a little bit about that real quick.
It is a crazy place at the gardens right now. We have we have a little scavenger hunt for people of all ages. They can come to the garden and they can find things. Well, actually, they can go through the gardens and they can find all these beautiful blossoms. This is called the Gardens in Bloom, and the horticulture staff, the gardeners, have gone absolutely crazy with flowers, and you've never seen displays like it. My wife and I go to a lot of the theme parks all the time, and let me tell you, these flowers are far better than anything you'll see at any of the theme parks, and it only costs you $10 to get in. You can't buy a hot dog at a theme park for that. So if you want to come see lots of beautiful poinsettias and hanging baskets and beautiful bedding plants, now is the time to go. And then we also have at night, a little more expensive, but certainly well worth it, we have dazzling nights. And throughout the gardens, there's a little path that you follow. And you can buy a little bit of food there, hot cocoa and things like that. And you can walk through the gardens and see all these amazing lights through the garden. It's absolutely spectacular. So you can go to Eventbrite or go to the Lou Gardens, LEUGardens.com, and you can get further information on Dazzling Nights. And please, please, please don't forget about the classes that we have. We have over 200 classes every year about gardening and other things. And if you're considering a raised bed, you're considering vegetables, or you want to grow flowers or whatever, check our website. And there's plenty to do, and it's all very, very affordable. We're probably the best deal in town at this point. So lots going on at the gardens. It keeps us busy.
Robert, thank you so much. I'm glad we did talk about the conversion, the lawn conversion, and I'm looking forward to coming out and seeing what you got going on at Lou Gardens. So you take care, and Merry Christmas to you and your family and your employees and staff and everything at the gardens.
Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
Take care. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all for listening. Talk to you all later. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all willpower comes from God. Take care.